continue the show about Tzvekos. We spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks talking about when you have a suffix, so the principle of Rov, Achmer Mahatos, all the different permutations of Rov. Now we move on to another type of halacha that the Torah tells us what to rely upon when we have a suffix. And that's the principle of Chazoka. The Gemara tells us in many, many places, when you have a latest a suffix, you're not sure what to do, so you follow what the Chazoka was, whatever it used to be. Well, let's say you have different examples of chazak in the realm of Issa Hetor, you have chazak in the realm of Tumur Tara. So we don't know, is this woman, is she Muteras, is she Asura, what was she yesterday? We don't know, is the Futami, is the Tom, what was yesterday? So the principle of chazak plays out very often. How do we know there's a principle called chazak? So the Gemara in the beginning of Sechas Chulin says this is the Dimin HaTorah, and it's the Rosh Hashanah Pasuk. The Pasuk is a very strange Makar, but the Gemara has such a Makar, that the Makar is based on Bayis HaMenuga. The Torah says in Parshas Metzora that if a house has a nega on it, so it becomes potentially tummy, so the Kohen has to come and inspect the house. So the Kohen comes and takes a look and sees what the story of the nega is. He's got to look at the color, look at the size, got to measure, he's got to make a whole assessment. And then he comes to his conclusion. So the Torah says that the Kohen should not paskin the shayla right away while he's standing in the house. Because if he paskins when he's standing in the house, then he's going to become tummy, everything's going to become tummy. Everything becomes tummy from the moment that he declares tummy. So the Torah says, first take everything outside the house. Funeral sabayis, take everything out. And then, the Kohen should go outside, goes across the street, and then he makes a declaration that the house is tummy. So the Moses says, how could he say with a straight face that the house is still tummy? Maybe the nega changed since it was there 2 minutes ago. 2 minutes ago, when he thought it was going to be tummy, it had the shear of a tumah is the size of a grist. We know that from Mokhaz Mitzvah, so it was a penny. So the Kohen walks around with a penny in his pocket, and he measures the nega, and he sees that it's a grist. And when he goes out of the house, 5 minutes later, he doesn't know that it's a little grist, maybe shrunk. So what gives him a right to rely on the fact that it's the same? So the Gemara says, you see, for me, there's a principle of chazaka meikara. The chazaka meikara works between the chumra, between the kula, for the imamunus, for the imamunus, etc. So the principle of chazaka meikara is a powerful principle in halacha. So we find there's a principle of rov when you have sfeikus, and the principle of chazaka when you have sfeikus. But lechor, we have to raise a question, a really lumdish question, about what's the nature of this halacha, the yifala chazaka. Everybody agrees there's a dimin haTorah, the yifala chazaka. What's unclear is what the nature of this halacha. So when we discussed halachas of Rov several weeks ago, we raised a very similar hakira. What's the nature of Rov? I have a suffix, and now I have a Rov that points in one direction. So what's the nature of that halacha? The nature of that halacha, that Rov is mevarer to us what the emes is. That Rov is a mechanism that the Torah introduces to us to find out what the facts are. So if there's a 90% chance that the animal is kosher, you can assume 100% that it's kosher. Is that what Rov is? Rov is a mevarer. A Rov is nishkin mevarer. Rov is mevarer anything. Rov just tells me it's a suffix. It was a suffix. It is a suffix. It will always be a suffix. When you have a Rov, the Rov is a din on hog. The Rov is a, you have a right to be knowing as if it's mutter. Can you say with any degree of certainty that it's mutter? I don't know if it's any more mutter than it was before. But the Torah says you're allowed to make believe that it's mutter. It's a din on hog. So what is a Rov? Is a Rov is a Mavar? Is Rov on hog? So we spoke a lot about this. According to Sheish Meitzer, there are two kinds of Rovs, and others disagree, and back and forth about what the nature of Rov is. So take that exact same Chakir and plug it into Chazaka. What's the nature of Chazaka? Is Chazaka a statement of Ados? Chazaka is like a Bira. If you want to know, is this woman Muteras? And the answer is, what was she yesterday? If she was Muteras yesterday, then we could say with a straight face for certain that she's Muteras today. What do you say? No, Chazaka, what kind of beer is that? Just because something was a certain way yesterday, Mecha takes it that way today. This is one of the dinian hawk. The Torah gave us a din that you're allowed to make believe that she's Muteras. Is she really Klapishma? Is she really Muteras? I have no idea whether she's Muteras or not. But one of the dinian Torah is the same Torah that says, as a din of Kiddushin and Gerushin and Tumah Mitar, and Isavata said that there's a din of Cheskes Heter, Cheskes Issa, Cheskes Tumah, Cheskes Tar, etc. So what exactly is the nature of Chazaka? Chazaka is conceptually Chazaka Muteras Biror. Was conceptually Chazaka b'Taras Anhog. So here, even though there are some Acharonim who suggest that Chazaka is b'Taras Biro, there is such an opinion, that she was any Yantav, that's such an idea. The conventional wisdom in the yeshivas is usually not this way. Usually, for the last 100 years, the regular party line in the Litvish yeshivas has always been that Chazaka is not that way. The Chazaka is not considered to be a Biro. The Chazaka is considered to be fundamentally a Din Anhog. Why would one say this? What are some of the rayas? So some of the famous rayas, the chazaka seems to be pointing more in the direction of anhoga than the direction of biror, run as follows. There is a gemara in Maseches Pesachim, and Daftes. We've spoken about this in the past a little bit. We'll talk about hopefully more as we in different contexts. The famous sigur is called the sigur of Shnei Shvilin. Shnei Shvilin is a situation where you have two roads, and I know for a fact that one of the roads is Tomei. There was a mace buried under one of the roads. I don't remember 50 years ago, I don't remember which is which. I know for a fact that one road is Tomei, I know for a fact that one road is a Tahar. So the Gemara has a shaila. What's the din if two people walk on those roads? Reuben walks on road A, and Shimon walks on road B, and now they both come to Beis Din. So now Beis Din is in a little bit of a quandary. On the one hand, Reuben has a cheskes tahara, because he used to be tahar, and we're not sure whether he became tamei. Shimon also has a cheskes tahara, he used to be tahar, and we're not sure whether he became tamei. On the other hand, one of them is for sure tamei. So Beis Din wants to know, what should we say? How should we paskin the shaila? So the Gemara says, depends how the shaila is presented to Beis Din. If Reuben comes independently, and he wants to know, Rabbi, am I tamei or tahar? We have to follow Cheskes Tahara. He used to be Tahar. We have the latest Asafik, whether he's Tamei or Tahar. So we have no choice. We have to pass the day's Tahar. Shimon comes next week to ask the Shaila. I walked on one of the roads. I don't know which one it was, and we don't know which one was Tamei. So Beis Din has no choice. The hands are tied. They have to pass the Tahar also. So Bol, Ishal, Zechazev, each one comes and asks separately. Then Beis Din must pass each one is Tahar. And the Pasha said, Dvarim is, that's Beis Din Cheskes Tahara. That's the way at least some Rishonim say. Other Rishonim make that sugi more complicated because they throw into the equation Safik Tuba Bishus Arabim. We're not going to talk about that now. We'll talk about that another time. But we're going to stick to Cheskes Tahara. We're going to work like Tosfos. It's just a plain, simple Cheskes Tahara Shaila. So each one gets the Psach Lehetna. Then the Gemara says, what if Bol Ishal B'Vasachas? What if both Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din together? They're standing there together. Each one asks the Beis Din, am I Tahar? So Beis Din's really in a pickle now. Because to say, you're Tahar and you're Tahar, someone's looking at that and say, this is a big joke. How can they both be Tahar? It's impossible they're both Tahar. That's a tie to the Sasre. That's as we said, it's worse than Navi Mincha Maariv on Friday after 7. That's a real tie to the Sasre. You're passing Tahar and Tahar. It can't be. It's not Shia. How can it be? It's not physically possible they're both Tahar. So Beis Din's hands are tied, and now each one gets burnt. Each one's got to get Pasuk and Tamei. So if they would have been smart and asked the Shaila separately, they would have gotten a Psach Lehet there. Now if they asked the Shaila together, they're going to be in a problem. So Tosfos on that Gemara, and Maseches Psach with the Gemara and Afyudim and Aleph. So Tosfos, a very small one, two line Tosfos. Tosfos says, this din that Beis Din has to Pasuk and that they're both Tamei, says Tosfos, that a din in that Torah? What kind of joke is that? If they ask the Shaila 5 minutes apart, then the Dinder Ice is the Boltar. If they ask the Shaila at the same time, then the Dinder Ice is at the Tomei Tosfos, that doesn't sound right. That sounds like a very, very strange Din Minatora. Minatora, it sounds like it's black and white. Either it's Torah or it's Tomei, finish, that's it. So Tosfos right, say, Taki, you're right. Minatora, if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu the Shaila, even if Reuven and Shimon would come ask Mamash at the same split second of time, Moshe Rabbeinu would look them both in the face and say, Torah and Torah. So Tosfos says that, the fact that we as a Beis Din have to, we must invoke the Psach of Tomei, that's Mishum Taita Disasvish, no Yir Kechuchu Tlula, because otherwise the Beis Din is going to look like a joke. People are going to think this halach is a big leitzanus. How can you pass in two things that are clearly not both correct? So with the Rabban and the Chacham Institute, just Mishum covered the halacha, they're chilling like a joke. We have to pass it that they're both Tomei. But really, Klab Shemaya, the real Din Min HaTorah is in fact that both of them are Tahor. Why are they both Tahor? So says Taisus, because each one has a Cheskes Tahor. So come the Acharonim, the Reb Shimon, and others, and the Bedayik from this Tosfos. How can it be that Min HaTorah they're both Tahor? Lamai said, we know it's not true. Lamai, at the end of the day, how you talking the Bar Kazeh that they're both Tahor? How can Beis Din Min HaTorah let out such a psak, such a dover sheker, to say such a statement that you're Tahor and you're Tahor? How can Tosfos say just in one false move, Min HaTorah, you can say whatever you want. Min HaTorah, Tahor, Tahor, Shart, I, it's a steer, who cares? So says Reb Shimon, say the Acharonim, that Lechorah, this Tosfos is taking a stand on the Shaila of what the nature of Chazaka is. If the idea of Chazaka is that it's a bureau that will be revived to MS, having have two mutually exclusive truths means either Reuven is Tahor or Shimon is Tahor. It's impossible that in the world of truth that both Reuven and Shimon should be Tahor. It's mutually exclusive. It's impossible to utter a psach of Tahor, Tahor, if the psach of Tahor is a statement of truth. But if you tell me that the psach of Tahor is not a statement of truth, I'm not being mavar or anything. The Psach of Tahor is merely a statement. I have no idea. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know whether you're Tahor. I don't know whether you're Tahor. It's a little partly whether you're Tahor or you're Tahor. I know one thing. That the Tahor of Pashat Mitzvah gives me a right to Paskin Ba'is HaMenuga. I have a right to say, follow Chazok HaMekara. I'm going to Paskin that you're Tahor based on Chazok HaMekara. out of their basket that your Torah based on Chazak Mekara, and it doesn't make any sense. You're right, it doesn't make any sense. Who says it doesn't make sense? Who says the Psach is a Psach of Birur? If the Psach is a Psach of Birur, then you can't be Mevar two things that are mutually exclusive. Once you take the Psach out of the realm of Birur, it's in the realm of Hanhoga, it's a statement that the Torah says, you're allowed to make believe your Torah. So that's exactly what the Torah says. You're allowed to make believe your Torah. And you're allowed to make believe your Torah. I can't be the both Torah. Who said the Torah? I never said the Torah. All I said is that you're making believe you. The world to make believe you can do whatever you want. You want to have time to disaster. The world to make believe you can you do whatever you want. It's not the world of reality. We're not telling you that we know of adults that you're Torah. So that's one of the rayas that the Acharonim bring from his Tosfos. There is another possible raya that others discuss from Kveg, others discuss. They said a sugya that appears in a combination of the Tosfos plus a sugya that appears in the third parak of Maseches Yevamos. Tosfos develops the yesod in a few places in Shas that when you have a situation called trey, when you have two eidim who are contradicting each other, two eidim say Reuven's chayev, and two eidim say Reuven's potter, whatever it is, two eidim say this woman is asura, two eidim say the woman is mutaris. You have trey, and mamanus the gemara's trey, and yisurim the gemara's trey. So what do you do when you have a trey? So Tosfos writes that one thing you cannot do when you have a trey is that you can't start to add on more factors. So I don't want to get too far afield in terms of migos and mamanus. We don't need any mamanus right now, but I'm going to quote Tosfos the way I want to quote Tosfos. It's not exactly what Tosfos says, but trust me, in a month from now, whenever we get to be the Mamanus, we'll come back to this Tosfos. So Tosfos presents the following scenario. Let's say you have two Eidim say that Reuven's Chayav, and two Eidim say that Reuven's Potter. Two Eidim say Leah is an Eishes Ish, and two Eidim say she's not an Eishes Ish. So what do you do when you have a trey? Is it a stalemate? You can't do anything? So we're stuck. We don't know what to do. And now, all of a sudden, introduced into this mix is a Rov. The odds are that Reuven is Taka Chayim. The odds are that Leah is Taka Asur, whatever the case may be. So does Rov play a role when you have a trey? So Tosfos claims, again, in the statement that Tosfos says that we're extrapolating from, it's clear from Tosfos that Rov doesn't play a role. You can't throw Rov into the mix. Why can't you throw Rov into the mix? So Tosfos explains that two Eidim is the greatest possible Birur in the world. And these two Eidim just got undermined by two other Eidim. So you're going to add on Rov? What is Rov going to help? How is Rov going to make it any better? You've reached 100% level of Birur. You can't get higher than two Eidim. And now you have two Eidim say that those two Eidim are no good. So you're going to add on Rov. You're going to add on another Birur. Moshe Lomar David Domitas says, what if you would add on another two Eidim? So I have two against two, and now I bring in another two Eidim. And I need to bring another four Eidim, another 100 Eidim. We have a rule called Trei Kamea. If you have a stalemate between two Eidim say one thing and 100 Eidim say something else, it's still considered to be a tie. So Seth tells us, how could adding on Rovs and adding on more Birurim and more things, how could that be any better than adding on more Eidim? So Tosfos says, once you've reached two Eidim, it's over. There's nothing you can do to ever be Mechuyah the Shaila once you have two Eidim. Once the two Eidim are there and they fail because they're contradicted by two other Eidim, there's nothing you can ever add to the mix to win over the case. That's how you say that Tosfos develops in a few places in Shas. I always give them the marshals. It's like, if I remember correctly, from 10th grade chemistry, we call it a supersaturated solution. Is that such a word like that? So, chemistry, you don't take chemistry yet. Biology, 9th grade, okay. So, yeah, you reach a point where you can't add anymore. What are you going to add? There's nowhere to go anymore. So that's what Tosfos says. The problem, or the issue with this Tosfos is that the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, at least quotes according to one opinion, which is the way many of us shouldn't pass in. But that's true, that when you have trey, you can't add on Rov, and you can't add on Eidim, and you can't add on Migos, and you can't add on Birur, you can't add anything on. But one thing you can add on, you can add on Chazaka. What's the din when you have a trey? Now what do you do? So two Eidim say the woman is Muteris. Two Eidim say the woman's Asura. What do you do? So the Gemara says, well, what was she yesterday? If she was Muteris yesterday, so she's Muteris today. If she was Asura yesterday, and she's Asura today, so you follow Chazaka. So ask the Acharonim, what do you mean follow Chazaka? How could you add Chazaka to the mix? You just got finished telling me that you can't, once you have two Eidim and the two Eidim are neutralized, you can't add on more Eidim, and you can't add on Rovs, and you can't add on more Birurs. So, by hiding you add on Chazakas? So the answer is no, Chazakas is a different story. It's what Kivega writes in the Tshuva, that Chazakas makes sense to add on. Why? Because Chazakas is not trying to be Mavar anything. When you're using Rov, and you're using other Eidim, and you're using other methods of Birur, you're trying to figure out the facts. We've reached a point of supersaturation. You can't get any more than two Eidim. And if two Eidim fail, if they can't be Mavar the facts, then nothing else can be Mavar the facts. But Chazaka is getting in through the back door. Because Chazaka's job is not to be Mavar the facts. Chazaka's job is to say, it's a Sofet. Let's blight the Sofet. it'll always remain a safek. And it's still, we're still going to use chazaka, because chazaka is not a mevarer. Chazaka is a din anhoga. So these are the two halachas that the Acharonim quote, which seem to point in the direction that chazaka is not b'teres birur. If it was b'teres birur, then it wouldn't work by attaching the sas, right? And if chazaka was b'teres birur, then it wouldn't work in the situation of trey u'trey. So the fact that chazaka has a koach that other things fail, that chazaka is able to do things that perhaps rov can't do, chazaka is able to work in attaching the sas, chazaka is able to work even with the trey u'trey, chazaka can go above and beyond the regular rules of birur, a dafka, because chazaka is working with a different lamdas than birur, it's more in the realm of anhaga. Now, the truth is, neither of these rayas are absolute ironclad rayas. This is again Shnei Shvilin. The Rishonim have a different view than Taisan Lagabin Shnei Shvilin, who work with Sapatu Bishasai Rabim. It's a whole different Mahalach and Sugya. This Sugya about Trey Trey is also not so posh, because it's Machalakis every Hamaroy, Machalakis every Shonim, that we really pass by Takamar. So, neither one of these rayas is an absolute ironclad, Belishum Safa, Belishum Pircharaya. But these is usually conventional wisdom points this direction. This is the way it's usually assumed in the yeshivas, that chazaka is perhaps different than rov, in the sense that when the rov biru hanava is still open chakira, chazaka is usually assumed nimnu v'gomru, and we assume that chazaka is most probably b'toras hanava rather than b'toras biru.
Those who hold the chakira of rov, that rov is hanava, also say that the
world
can act to change
trade? So that becomes a question now. Would Roe be able to work in a situation of trade or trade? So there may be other reasons why Roe may not work in trade or trade. We're going to get to the sugya down the line of trade or trade and Adim and later on in the semester, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So this understanding that we're going to work with in terms of chazaka, the nature of chazaka works, and the way we pointed out in the past, that rov may or may not work similar, or at least certain types of rovs that may or may not work as similar. This opens up for us a whole new understanding as to what do you do when you have a clash between these two principles. So we spent a month talking about the principles of following rov, which is Arach Aram Mahatos of Pashas Mishpatim. And we just spent 20 minutes talking about chazaka, based on Bais HaMenuga Pashas Mitzara. Now the question becomes, what happens when you have a clash between the two? What if you have a suffix? I don't know what happened. I'm not sure what the din is. And I'm getting contradictory indications from different principles in halacha. So if I work with the world of Rove, Rove is pointing in the direction such and such, that this woman is muteris. Or Rove is pointing in the direction that this food is tameh. On the other hand, I have a chazaka. Chazaka is pointing in the direction that this woman is asura. Chazaka is working in the direction that that the food is tar, is tameh, whatever the case may be. So now what do you do? So now I'm very confused. So I have a shayla. So I learned the first three problem sheish ma'itza. So I know there's a principle of Rove, and I know there's a principle of chazaka. And now each one is telling me to do something else. I come to the rabbi. What do you do? What do you do when a Rove points in one direction and a chazaka points in the other direction? What do you do? So this is not a achronish shayla. This is a tanoim. Like I said, tanoim. What do you do when you have a stira, you have a contradiction between a Rove on the one hand and a chazaka on the other hand? So do you say ruba v'chazaka ruba adif? You say that Rove is greater than Chazaka? Or do you say Ruv v'Chazaka, Chazaka Adifa? Or maybe a third possibility. Maybe Ruv v'Chazaka are Shkulamen. Maybe they cancel each other out. And then you're back to square one. You're back with this little Tzofik again. So there are logically three different possibilities. Whether you say Ruv v'Chazaka, Rove is better than Chazaka. Or whether you say that Chazaka is better than Rove. Or whether you say that each one is powerful, each one is significant, and neither one can be Mechweir the other. So what's the din? So the case that the Tanoim discuss, was a case in Tumah V'Tahara. So the Mazal, whole machlek is that Tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Rabban, and it appears in the end of the sixth Kedushin, and it appears in the sixth Berach of Chulin, about a Tinok Hanimtza B'Tzara Isa. You have this dough, and the dough in front of us. The dough was always tar. We've been very careful. We've kept the dough tar. So I have a dough that's tar. And now I have a child who's at this, right next to the dough. And the question becomes, has this dough now become tummy based on the child? Why should I think that that the dough became tummy based on the child? So the Gemara says that rov tinokas are pasking around in the garbage cans. The Gemara says that little children tend to become tummy. Now, in the olden days, what was in the garbage can? So today we got a lot of chult left over in the garbage can. We got a lot of gefilte fish left over. But in the olden days, a lot of dead animals were in the. We got a lot of live animals, a lot of live squirrels in the garbage can. But these big dead animals, you had a dead mouse in the garbage can. You had a dead weasel. You had a dead sheriff, whatever it was. A lot of dead animals floating around in the garbage dumps. So the children used to like to play there. So if you take any given child, any given 3-year-old, and you had to take a poll, is he tummy or is he tahor? The odds are he's probably tummy. We don't know for sure. We can't say with absolute certainty that the child became tummy. But we have a fairly good assessment. We've got a Ruben DeLay to come on. If you go around checking out all the kids on shul, it was Torah. Who's tummy? Who's tahor? The odds are probably most of them are tummy. Rov tinokos betachin b'ashpa, whatever they use the lashon. So now the question becomes, I have this Issa in front of me, and I see the child holding this Issa, and I only ask the child, he's 3 years old, he doesn't know he's tummy tahor. So I have an Issa in front of me. The Issa used to be tahor. Until 5 minutes ago, the Issa was tahor. Now the question becomes, was the child the tummy Issa or not? I don't know. I don't know whether the child is tummy or not. The robe is probably tummy. So what do you do? So that was the Mechalik Yisatah Rav, the Meir and the Rabban. So do you have a right to say that the Issa is tahor, because after all, it used to be tahor. So since up until now it was tahor, it has a like the chazok lemeikara, and now you have a rove against it, but the chazok lemeikara is better than the rove. You can assume that the Issa is mamish tahor. That's one possibility. Or do you have to say, no, rubu v'chazok rubadif, that you have to assume that the Issa is tameh, because the rove tinokas otaka tameh. So you have to assume that the Issa is tameh. That's a second possibility. Or maybe you can assume that, we don't know, it's a suffix tameh. Because you have a robe that's pointing in the direction that's probably tummy, the chazok is pointing in the direction that's probably tahor, so the two cancel each other out. Now you have a suffix tummy. So what's the significance of being suffix tummy? So that's, in a certain sense, more problematic. Suffix tummy means that, now let's say if it was truma, my sasheni said, I can't eat it, because it's a suffix, they're ice, whether it's tummy. On the other hand, if it's truma that's only suffix tummy, I have a problem burning it. You're not supposed to burn truma that's a suffix tummy, because you're not allowed to destroy truma when it's tahor. That's a whole complicated sugya. You have the first bracha psachim, and you just got a koinim, that's your dollar. 7 blot in the gemara, what are you doing? You have truma that's suffix tummy. Suffix tahor becomes even more complicated. So if you follow Rov, and Rov says, yeah, it's tummy, no problem, and take it in a burner and finish. If you pass it like chazok, so then you can eat it. If you pass it, you don't know that they cancel each other out, then you're going to be in a pickle. You have to figure out what to do when you have the truma that's suffix tahor, suffix tummy. So that's the machlokes we made in the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon, on this sugya, in this context of the Tinuk Shirutzim Tzadi Isa, so the Chachamim make the famous statement that you follow Rov, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, and no problem, that's the din, kacha, nem aloha, Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, and therefore we can assume that the Isa is tummy. So Adkan, divvy the opinion of the Chachamim. So we're going to work with the Chachamim. Now we probably pass like the Chachamim, Yechavram, follow the Rov. So we follow the Chachamim, that Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, and pashas. So we have to understand conceptually, why is that true? Why is it that Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif? And once we understand that, then you have to re-ask, well, why does Rabbi Meir disagree? What's the Nekudas of Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon? Why are the Rabbanon so convinced that Ruba v'chazaka, Ruba adif, whereas Rabbi Meir is not so convinced? So some suggest that maybe the reason for the Machlokes for Meir and the Rabbanon is goofa based on some of the things that we've been speaking about. We thought, at least conventional wisdom is that Rov and Chazaka work differently from one another, conceptually. Rov is primarily a Biru. We said that we were pretty sure when we said the shiur about Rov. Rov is probably a Biru. We remember the Sheikh Shmaita threw a monkey wrench into it, different kinds of Rovs. Okay, we weren't 100% sure. We're Rov sure, 90% sure. We're pretty sure that Rov works, at least most of the time, with Torah as Biru. Whereas Chazaka, we're pretty convinced, based on our rise from Trey, and our rise based on Tanya de Sasre, and Chazaka is primarily not a Biror. Chazaka is primarily a Dinan Haga. So the real question of Ruba v'Chazaka and Ruba Adif, what we're really asking is, what do you do when you have a clash between two different types of halachas? You have a Rov, which is conceptually a Biror, and you have Chazaka, which is conceptually a Hanhaga. What do you do when you have a contradiction between these two? So here, many Acharim say, what you do is as follows. The principle of following an Hanhaga means, when you have a Suffolk, then you follow the Anhaga. That's what it means. Chazaka, if I don't have a suffix, I know for a fact I'm tummy. So I can't say, well, I was Torah yesterday, so I'm still Torah today. But you just came from the basic verse. You know you're tummy. Chazaka, the whole principle of Anhaga makes sense when you have a latest a suffix. So if and when you're in the state of a suffix, the Torah gives you the right to rely on X, Y, and Z to follow the Anhaga. What about for the person who doesn't have a suffix? If you don't have a suffix, how are you going to follow Anhaga for? If you don't have a suffix. So if you hold that Rove is a Mevarer, what that means is, Rove dictates to me, is no longer leitzes safek. Rove means, you thought you had a safek. You came to the Beis Din, you explained to them the facts. They told you, Rove tinokos v'tatchem v'isa. Most children become tummy when they touch the garbage. So Rove dictates to me that this isa is tummy, 100%. It's not a safek tummy, it's 100%. Rove carries the day, because Rove is Mevarer the safek. Once there's no more safek, what do you mean chazacha? What kind of late sonus is that? You're going to tell me that? No, the Issa is taller because it used to be taller yesterday. But you just went to the basic cars. You know for a fact that it's taller. Chazaka only makes sense when you have a suffix. Kol's mind, you don't have a suffix anymore. But Shaykh to follow Chazaka. So Ruba the Chazaka, Ruba Adif, Dafka for this reason. Because Rove addresses the issue of suffix. Chazaka doesn't address the issue of suffix. Chazaka doesn't say that there is or is not a suffix. Chazaka doesn't talk about a suffix. Chazaka tells me that it's a din and haga. Chazaka's not mavar anything. But Rove is a mavar. So once Rove, which is a mavar, by definition, has the ability to overcome Chazaka. Because what Rove does, it undoes the latest of suffix. It's like Mashal Mada Vedoma. We spoke about Bitl Barov. We spoke about when you have two pieces of kosher meat, or one piece of treif meat, it becomes batel. Then when you add in more treif meat, it becomes osur again. So the Rosh said, how does it become osur again? So the Rosh says, because it undoes the taroves. There's no taroves anymore. It's nikra isur. Once there's no taroves, but maybe you can't follow the following halachas. So that's the same idea. Once there's no suffering anymore, so how can you follow chazaka? So the mela rove has to overcome chazaka, because the nature of how chazaka works and the nature of how rove works. That's what some suggest. So the Sheikh Shemaitza happens not to go that route. The Sheikh Shemaitza suggests a different twist. Sheikh Shemaitza says that you want to know why Rove beats out a Chazaka. So tell you why. Says the Sheikh Shemaitza, Rove beats out Chazaka for the following reason. So Chazaka is something of the past. Chazaka, I'm not really saying what's going on, the facts on the ground now. I don't really know what the facts on the ground. That's exactly the problem. I'm standing here and I don't know. Is the Issa Tami or is the Issa Tar? So I look for my proofs. I'm trying to collect my information. So I don't have any up to date information. I don't have any on the spot. 7:44 and 22 seconds. I don't have information from 7:44. That's exactly my problem. I don't know what the facts are at 7:44. So where am I gleaning my information? So my information is from yesterday's information. The information is last week's newspaper. It's like the old world. You know, today's world, they couldn't even the concept of last week. Last minute. I mean, of course, you have a moment update. Says the Sheikh Shemaitza, Chazaka is rooted in yesterday. Chazaka is rooted in the past. What is that? Information I'm getting from the past, by definition, is not going to be as powerful as information that I have in front of me right now. So comes the Sheikh Shemaitza and says, Rove is right now. Rove, I'm making a statement of truth that's true at 7:44 and 24 seconds. What's the statement of truth? The statement of truth is, most children go to the garbage. Most children yesterday go to the garbage. Most children today go to the garbage. Most children tomorrow go to the garbage. Most children are tummy. That is a statement of truth at 7:44 and 24 seconds. It is no more true nor less true yesterday than it was today. So now I have two, so to speak, proofs coming at me from two different directions. One proof is yesterday's news, and the other proof is today's news. So says the Sheikh Shemaitza, how can you tell me that yesterday's information is going to be up to date with a Moshe Madavar? Guy listens to the weather report. So either you listen to yesterday's weather, you listen to today's weather. So everyone agrees that whatever you heard yesterday may be true, but it's going to be updated by today's report. So the same is true. Yesterday's Chazaka, that was nice. That was interesting information that you had. If you didn't hear the weather today, so probably we heard yesterday's, probably maybe still okay. But close by, you have updated information, so you got to go with the updated information. We live in the world progresses, the world is moving ahead at a fast pace. In the 1800s, in the Sheikh Shemaitza, everything is up to date. So you got to live in today's world, not in yesterday's world. So the Sheikh Shemaitza says that's why Rove beats out Chazaka. Not because Rove is Abir, Chazaka is Anhoga. Remember, the Shemaitza wasn't so convinced that Rove was really Abir. He had a lot of issues with the Abir story of Rove. So says the Shemaitza, you don't have to go with Rove being Abir and Chazaka being Anhoga. You don't need that. The reason why Rove beats out Chazaka. The reason why Rove beats out Chazaka is because Rove is in the world of today and Chazaka in the world of yesterday. So, very nice. So we have possible different biurim as to what the Shita Chacham is. The Shita Chacham, Rove beats out Chazaka, based on fundamental nature of a distinction between Rove and Chazaka, or is it based on a more toned-down version of the Sheikh Shemaitza? It's just because one is rooted in today and one is rooted in yesterday. So what did Rabbi Meir say? How come Rabbi Meir said, forget? How come Rabbi Meir said that that Reuben there's a steer in Rabbi Meir. One place Rabbi Meir seems to say that Reuben Chazaka cancel each other out, and another place Rabbi Meir seems to say Chazaka actually beats out Rove. So Taisus tries to figure out what did Rabbi Meir really say. But we know Rabbi Meir did not say that Rove beats out. That's for sure. Rabbi Meir said that Rove does not beat out the Chazaka. That technically speaking, this Issa is not Tami for sure. Maybe it's a Suffolk Tami. Maybe it's Tahar, but it's not Tami for sure. So why does Rabbi Meir deny this? Why does Rabbi Meir hold that Ruba v'Chazaka is not necessarily Ruba Adif? So you have to go back to each of these biurim and see what's the chisar in each of these biurim. So the biur that we said, that Ruba v'Chazaka, Ruba Adif, is predicated on the assumption that one's on Hagin, one's a biur. It could be that Rabbi Meir didn't buy that lumdus. It could be Rabbi Meir held, maybe they're both biurim. Maybe Rabbi Meir held they're both on Hagas. Maybe these lumdusha, yeshivisha chakiras that we've been, that the Sheikh Shmaitzer develops, and Rabbi Kivega develops, and all the Gedalia Charenim for the last 150 years have been thrown around these terms of roving a biurim and chazaka being on Hagas, and the Rabbi Shimon Shkops, and Rayas, and back and forth. This may very well have been the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. We don't know what Rabbi Meir's shita was. We weren't zoichet to sit in the yeshiva Rabbi Meir when he was pondering this issue of Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif. Rabbi Meir was sitting in Tveria, Kever Meir Balanes. He was sitting and trying to figure out what do you do when you have an Issa. The Cheskes Tara says one thing and the Rove says another thing. So Rabbi Meir came to the conclusion that you don't follow Rove. So we have no idea why not. All the Gemara says that Rabbi Meir holds Ruba v'Chazaka Lav Ruba Adif. But he doesn't explain why. Why is it talking about Ruba Adif? So one could suggest that maybe Rabbi Meir had a different way of understanding Roves and Chazakas. Maybe Rabbi Meir had a whole different beer as to what's going on. So it's possible. Maybe related to another sheet of Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir's Chayesh Lemiyuta. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later. So that maybe Rabbi Meir, in fact, the sheet also. According to the Sheikh Shemaitza, that the issue is a different issue with Gamre. It's an issue of past versus present. I don't know what Rabbi Meir's philosophy was about that. Maybe Rabbi Meir held yesterday's, well, the focus is just as good as today's. Maybe it's more accurate than that. I don't know. I'm not sure what Rabbi Meir did with that svara of past versus present. But clearly Rabbi Meir didn't buy into this story. Clearly Rabbi Meir didn't accept the principle of Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif. So Lamaisa, there is such a principle on the books called Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif. I shouldn't say there's no question about it, but at least the way we pass it, that Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif seems to be correct, seems to be carrying the day. Whether or not Ruba v'Chazaka Ruba Adif means like we thought it meant, that Rove is a Bira, Chazaka is an Omer, that's a little subject to a discussion. But I call upon him, when we throw around these terms, Ruba v'Chazaka, we have to be very, very careful, because we could read certain Gemaras and make a very serious mistake in terms of applying these principles properly. And that's the term Chazaka. Chazaka is a very, very tricky term that Chazal use. It has multiple meanings, and many, many different meanings, in many, many different contexts. Rabbi Shekel is always fond of saying, I think he quotes a Prima Gadim that says the word Chazaka has five different meanings in Chazal. It's the same four letters, and it means legamri different things in different contexts. Let's say Lamashal. The word Chazaka that we've been using Chazaka means a status quo. It means the way something was for the last 2 weeks, that's the way it's most probably has going to remain, it's going to continue, probably hasn't changed. That's one term of that's one meaning of the word Chazaka. On the other hand, Chazaka, let's say Lamashal, Chazaka in the sense of if you do something three times, you create a Chazaka. That's not the same thing. A shore gores on three different occasions. So that creates a chazaka, that creates a pattern, that creates a routine that, well, if it gored every third Monday, it's probably going to gore again every third Monday. Or the principle of chazaka when it comes to Hichos Nida Vestas. The woman had a Re'ias Dam in the last three Rosh Chodesh, so she's probably going to continue to have a Re'ias Dam the next Rosh Chodesh. That's not the same kind of chazaka. That's not that we're continuing a status quo. That chazaka means that you didn't do it one time. It's a woman had a Riyaz Dam on one Rosh Chodesh. So you don't say, okay, Vesesh in a Kavua. Okay, but no, that's not the same thing. It's not a Chazaka that she's going to see next. And why don't you say she has a status quo of seeing last time? It's not a status quo. That's developing a pattern. We're trying to develop a habit. Can we say that her body has developed a certain pattern? Can we say that the Shohan Agech has created a certain pattern of behavior? That's a different kind of a Chazaka. It's the same words. So Chazaka means different things in different contexts. Or let's say, Lamashal, Cheskes Kinyan. Make a Chazaka. A Karkas Nikta Bechazaka. So if I want to sell you a field, so you go to the field and you fix up the wall in the back, you knock down the fence, dig a hole, you do some kind of a demonstration of Bailas. That's a different meaning of Gamri. The word Chazoka there doesn't mean anything. It has nothing to do with Chazoka of Gimel Pa'amim. It has nothing to do with Chazoka of Chazoka Meikara, following the status quo. It's a different word Chazoka. So the Gemara has another term, another time that the Gemara uses the word Chazoka. The Gemara says that sometimes we have Chazokas, we can say that Chazoka in other parabas of Chazmana. Whereas the statement of Baba Basa that, hey, when you have a din Torah between two people, did Reuven pay back the Chovana? So Reuven claims that he paid back the loan, and Shimon says he didn't pay back the loan. And there are no Edom. So can you assume that he paid back the loan or not? So the Gemara says, it depends. Let's say this Zman HaPiron hasn't come yet. So the day of payment hasn't come. So let's say the mortgage is due September 1st. So most people don't pay it. Okay, well, you pay in advance because you don't want to get a penalty today. But let's say if you have a loan that's due September 1st. Most people are not running all this first to pay back their loans. People, the Gemara says, Halavai Shir for Adam Bezmanai. Halavai, people would pay back the loans when they're supposed to pay back the loans. Most people are not running to pay back their loans months and months and months in advance. So when Reuven makes the statement that I paid back the loan, Gemara says that's a very, very funny statement. The odds are that he's probably not telling the truth, and that's going to have a big nafkamina in terms of how to pass the Torah. It's very unlikely that Reuven paid back the loan. The Gemara says, Chazoka ain't on the Pareb Sechazmanu. It's highly unlikely that a person hasn't paid back the Sechazman. So what does that word mean? So when the Gemara uses the word Chazoka ain't on the Pareb Sechazmanu, what does that mean? That means a Chesk is Gimel Pa'amim. That means a Chesk is Kinyin. Chesk is Gimel Shalom. That means a Chazoka Meikar. It's the Chazoka Meikar. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean any of the above. So that's another meaning of the word Chazoka. What that means is, the odds are, not the odds are, that's a rove. We call that a rove. So the question becomes, if all the Gemara means is, when it uses the word Chazoka, is a rove, so why does the Gemara use the word Chazoka? What's the meaning of the word Chazoka? Number one. And number two, how is that going to affect some of the things that we're talking about? So let's say, what would the din be if you have, for argument's sake, you have a tray, two Edom say paid back, two Edom say he didn't pay back, and now Chazoka and other Pareb Sechazmanu. Would that make sense or not? So based on what we said, the only reason why Chazoka works in the situation of two Edom is only because Chazoka is not a Birur, because Chazoka is an Hagah. But that's only true when it's a real Chazoka, when it's a Chazoka of status quo, when it's a Chazoka that's rooted in Ba'is HaManuga. But if it's a Chazoka which is just a robe, which is a very, very fancy robe, and for some deep, dark secret, Chazal used the term Chazoka instead of robe, so then the regular Dinim Chazoka aren't going to fly over here. So that's what Rabbi Kivega writes in a Tshuva. You have to be very, very careful. When you see the Gemara using the term Chazoka, don't get fooled. Don't think the word Chazoka means Chazoka always. Chazoka sometimes means Chazoka Meikara. Sometimes Chazoka is just a code word for a very, very fancy kind of a robe. So don't make that mistake, says Rabbi Kivega, to think that every time the word Chazoka means, appears in Chazal. Oh, it means everything we've been talking about. Chazoka, yeah, we're in the Hanaga category. We're in the Hanaga world. We're in trade. Not so fast, as we be able. Look at every time the word Chazoka appears, look at the context, and see what a Chazal describing. Are they really describing Chazoka Meikara, or are they really describing just a fancy term of a robe? So, Akol Panim, Chazoka exists. Chazoka is on the books, no question, by Samanuga, it's a Din D'Oraisa. We're not quite sure 100% how Chazoka works. We thought we had a few riots from Trey to Trey and from Tati to Sasser, the Chazoka works in a certain manner. Then we had to take Chazoka and put it into when it contradicts Rov, where do you go from there? And they and the Rabbanim, the Sheikh Shmaitz and others. And then Rabbi Kivega's last words of warning to us, that just make sure that you really have a Chazoka in front. When you think you have a Chazoka, make sure you really have a real bona fide Chazoka before you make that mistake to think that what's really a Rov is actually a Chazoka. For the next week, we'll continue along to some of these things.